You're tuned into the all-new Freedom 106.5.
So let's head to our conversation with Mr. Reese Polo. Good morning to you and welcome. How is St. Kitts and Nevis treating you?
Good morning. Can you hear me?
Yes, loud and clear.
Lovely. Well, St. Kitts is a lot of action. We have a lot of movement, a lot of moving parts, especially keeping up with these politicians.
So let's go through the movements that we've seen so far. So the opening ceremony has left us a bit surprised and some, you know, a bit perturbed in the address by our Prime Minister, Ms. Kamala Prasad-Bisesa. What is the temperature like post the opening ceremony?
You know, I think a lot of times people on social media get a bit consumed by what politicians say on the platform. But when you see them in the lobby of the hotel or walking around, they actually have very civil conversations. Mm-hmm. There is a difference between a person in their political office when compared to the individual themselves. And what I have found is amongst the CARICOM heads of government, whether it be from Barbados Prime Minister Mia Motley to St. Lucia's Prime Minister Philip J.P., to Grenada's Prime Minister this morning, Dickon Mitchell, when he spoke with us, there is mutual respect for Prime Minister having autonomy to say whatever she wants to. Now, personally, they may have their own reflections and their own personal opinions, but if a leader speaks, they speak on behalf of their country. Mm-hmm. So they're not coming forward, expressing disappointment or anger, and they haven't in fact treated her any differently. Yesterday we have the Barbados Prime Minister saying quite frankly and clearly that she had no intention of rectifying differences between our Prime Minister and herself in the public domain, that if anything has to happen, it will take place behind closed doors. Mm-hmm. So that gives you a sense of how they are treating it. Our Prime Minister's comments, some of them are this side. We looked at the video when she came off the stage.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them did applaud. Some of them were looking up in the air. Some of them, they had their hands folded. That gave us, if we observe their body language, an idea of how they felt and they received her message. But to speak with her in person, it was all civil.
So diplomacy is high on the agenda for CARICOM summit this year.
Certainly.
Yeah.
And I think always when it comes to a politician.
So
if you look at even in Trinidad and Tobago, you know, Basdeo Pandey, Patrick Manning, they mm-hmm. praised each other and they shared very different political ideologies. It's very common. If we could see it in Trinidad and Tobago, you imagine the setting in St. Kitts and Nevis is not very different.
Now, coming from the responses as well, Antigua Barbuda Prime Minister Gaston Browne did make a comment very lightly and also referred to payments for the CLECO catastrophe. Do we expect any kind of conversation between Trinidad and Tobago and the Antigua Prime Minister on that topic before CARICOM is over?
Well, they actually spoke. So when he made that comment, it's because they had already addressed the matter. Mm-hmm. And he said that Prime Minister Kamala Prasad-Bisesa, she acknowledged that Trinidad and Tobago's financial position now isn't what it was then when she initially made the promise to commit, already paying $40 million with $60 million more outstanding.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there's a sense that she is prepared to honor it, according to him. Mm-hmm. She's prepared to honor the CLECO Bible settlement. However, it should not come at the expense of TNT's economic survival. We can't afford to pay a large amount of money out if we have social issues and other things to address. We have unemployment to address, mm-hmm. Rising food costs, the cost of living in general, and people are looking to her for answers. And so I don't think that she's necessarily going to prioritize that. I don't think it's going to be very high on the agenda, and it will happen, if at all, over a long period of time.
And also with salary negotiations in the air, it would be a little tricky to get that done as well.
Most definitely.
The latest comments or latest stories coming up within the movement of the CARICOM summit is that of Cuba and also the Shield of America summit. What is the Shield of America summit and what is the purpose?
Well, that's a very, it's a tricky question. And the Prime Minister herself, she couldn't answer it necessarily yesterday when we asked. Now, funny enough, the Prime Minister first revealed that she was going to have a meeting with President Trump. She made the comment, and I actually did not hear it at the time. I did not hear it at the time. We are having a little bit of mishaps here. But I didn't hear the conversation, the comment that she made pertaining to President Trump, and that was because it was so fast moving, you know, it's very difficult. I couldn't catch my breath. I was chasing to get the interview in this place. But when I asked her subsequently for a follow-up, like, could you please expand on this? She was unable to. She said that it's information just coming to hand for her, and that she, at the moment, didn't have much more information except that Guyana and Trinidad and Tobago were invited. Let's center what we do know that international media has published so far. The United States president is, in fact, meeting with Latin American countries in Doral, Miami. And they are going to touch on a number of issues, specifically trade. Now, when a local media company in Argentina suggested that that meeting would be centered upon dealing with trade and kind of pushing back against China's domination of Latin America. But when you look at Trinidad and Tobago, when you look at Guyana, what do you think? You think energy.
Yes.
There's nothing stopping the U.S. president from having those bilateral discussions on the sidelines of that conversation. So the fact that they've been invited really speaks to the U.S. Presence in the Caribbean region, their influence in, and their attempt to assert that kind of dominance when it comes to geopolitics. They are shifting global alliances, and at this present time, we can argue that the United States is leading it. I looked at the U.S. Secretary of State, Marco Rubio, at the Munich Security Conference that happened this month, and he told them that the West, with Europe, European Union, as well as the United States, they had such great influence over the West, and that he felt that it was waning, and he encouraged them to join with the United States, not as adversaries, but as people united to kind of reassert that dominance. And we're seeing it with Trinidad and Tobago and Guyana being invited. Of course, Guyana's president, when we spoke to him yesterday, Dr. Monali, said, I don't know who's invited. I don't know who's not invited. I just know that I will be there and we will be discussing security.
He was very guarded in his comments as well.
And you tend to see that, you know, when we have discussions with leaders, people like United States, the highest level of, you know, you're meeting for the first time with U.S. President Donald Trump, not as a part of a CARICOM delegation, but as a specially invited nation. Only two out of the 15 CARICOM member states. That is significant. And what is it going to benefit Trinidad and Tobago? We have interest in drug and gas. We have interest in the fight against crime. We have interest in the Petrochurn refinery, or what was the Petrochurn refinery finally restarting to give people some employment. So we have a lot going on. And we are very interested in these talks from the Prime Minister's side, she said, all for the benefit of Trinidad and Tobago. So we look forward to see how those talks develop next week.
Now, that would be the next question I was going to ask, because I believe that the manufacturing and the energy sector are paying very close attention to this summit and the extended meetings around that, especially as it was mentioned that there may be U.S. involvement in the restarting of the refinery. How would that affect us in TNT, and how can we put our eggs in that basket? How secure would that be?
I mean, at this point in time, it's everything is up in the air, and you know, we leaning on people's word. Now, we do have the U.S. Secretary of State telling the Prime Minister that he is prepared to have conversations with the Department of Energy to find suitable candidates. She did say that Minister of Energy, Dr. Rudan Munilal, met with Wando, and she also met with another organization, another agency, while here in St. Kitts and Nevis, but she was careful not to name that entity.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we're actually putting our eggs in all in one basket at all. Wando is not a US company as far as I'm aware. And so we are definitely branching as far out as possible. But we have to remember Trinidad and Tobago's interest in the Dragon Dance field. And that was supposed to supply the Petrotrin refinery,
mm-hmm.
The former Petrotrin refinery. So I don't think that it is something that could necessarily be discussed at this stage without involving the United States, mm-hmm. because they are working closely with Venezuela, and any cross-border deal between Trinidad and Tobago and Venezuela, whether it is with this administration or whether it would have occurred with the last administration, had to get the blessing of the United States.
Mm-hmm. Whether we like it or not, it has to go through those channels. Now, finally, the two things that our listeners here at Freedom 106.5 FM were very concerned about was regional trade and regional travel. How any development on that? Has any discussion started, especially on travel, because we would like to visit other countries at a cheaper price? What has that been like?
I mean, I haven't heard any feedback just yet. I think we'll have more information about a consensus at least tomorrow at the closing ceremony.
Mm-hmm.
But I can tell you, just to get to St. Kitts was very difficult for us. We left Trinidad for St. Kitts. I think I got to the airport around 5:30.
Mm-hmm.
We left and we went to Barbados for an hour. And then we went to St. Martin, where we stayed for 6 hours.
Mm.
And then we got a plane to St. Kitts. Regional travel is just too complicated and unnecessary. But we talk about it. And then the leaders say there's not an appetite for the travel. It's more expensive to come here than it would be for me to go to New York or
mm-hmm.
Miami.
Mm-hmm.
Why is that? But we keep talking about it. Oftentimes people say CARICOM is a talk shop. We want to see some action, and hopefully, I doubt it's going to happen at this meeting, but at some point, we do get some reprieve, because I think a lot of people would be willing to travel to different islands in the region.
Yeah,
if we just have lower cost and more accessible means of traveling.
And finally, any other pointers or other topics that have come up within the corridors that we may see addressed in the meeting?
Well, what we don't have at the moment is a clear consensus on Cuba. We do know that Trinidad and Tobago would have made its position clear. We do not support a dictatorship, according to the Prime Minister. We support democracy, and as a result of our supporting that democracy, we do not support socialism. The Prime Minister said we support capitalism. So I'm looking forward to, at the closing ceremony, perhaps a consensus on Cuba. Now, it may not be a political one. It may be one where CARICOM dictates what sort of humanitarian aid it may be willing to provide as a bloc to the Cuban people. As you know, no country is permitted to supply gas to Cuba. If you do, you will be sanctioned by the United States. And that is where the humanitarian crisis is developing. That could lead to spillover migration. It could lead to a lot of issues. It's not going to just up in Cuba.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one thing. I do believe that issues affecting Haiti is going to be also very high on the agenda. Haiti is currently ungovernable because we don't have an administration in place. Mm-hmm. And the transitional council, their tenure expired. So Haiti is also going to be high on the agenda. And just regular regional issues, like you mentioned, travel. There's a consensus between Trinidad and Tobago and Jamaica, at least.
Mm.
CARICOM is not a political organization. Everybody's free to have their own foreign policy and foreign ideologies.
Mm-hmm.
But how do we move forward as a bloc collectively to address our issues, interpersonal and otherwise? That is what we are left to see.
Well, Mr. Reese, thanks so much for taking the time. I know that you're very packed itinerary. Hey, I'm glad that you took the time to talk to us. Thank you so much, and best of luck.
Thank you so much. It's what my pleasure.
All right, take care.
You're tuned into the all-new Freedom 106.5. 106.5.